to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. And you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
AM, FM, shortwave, talk radio.
The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am John Stadtmiller. It is a Thursday, the 19th day of January 2006. And why am I opening up the show like this today? Kelly, the producer, is walking out of here laughing. Good night, Kelly. At any rate, folks, this is the Thursday edition of the National Intel Report. Good things are starting to happen, folks. I am very, very happy with where this network is going. We have some surprises coming up here in the future with a talk show host. We're going to have the absolute best lineup. And I'm not going to use the term alternative news. I don't like that. That's relegating us to, it seems to me, like to the hinterlands. And we are the news, folks. We present the news 24/7 with some of the best. We got investigative journalists, one that is hopefully coming on board. Mike, if you're out there listening today, I know you're 61% sure you're going to come on the network. Well, after I get through with you, you'll be 100% sure. But at any rate, we're building the best format with the best talk show host that we possibly can. So, and we're not done. We're still tweaking the schedule. I know there's been some people out there who are disappointed that a few shows have left, and some are disappointed that a few shows arrived. But at any rate, we're always listening to the audience out there. We do not make all of our decisions by your suggestions out there. But we do take that into serious account. So, folks, this is the network. This is the place to listen to the news. And as far as I'm concerned, I see other things going on out there, but geez, I don't think it's as good as this. Let me know what you think. My guest today, this is Thursday. We have John Ainsworth with us, and the website, we'll give that out also during the program. And just folks, it's a new year. I have to re-energize from time to time. And we have done that here. We have very good people that are connected to this network, very good things. I guess the blessings, you could call them, the blessings are starting to happen to us. And that's because we're doing the right thing. A lot of people seem to think that they can compromise and half do it. Well, that's not going to get it. I don't think you receive any blessings for half of a good try, do you? I don't think so. At any rate, we'll take the break here. We'll be back in a few minutes with my guest today, John Ainsworth, and we'll get the latest from him. And folks, just welcome to the network. I mean, welcome to the program. We're energized over here, folks, and we're going to stay that way. Even though I only had 2 hours sleep last night, I am on top of the world. Maybe not on the top of my game in radio today, but we'll get through it with you. We'll be back with John Ainsworth. Stay tuned.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
This is Christine with another Brigham Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Republic Broadcasting Network toll-free at 1-800-724-2719.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And a programming note for all of our affiliates out there. And thank you for, putting up with what has been happening in the... My phone is ringing while I'm on the air. Well, Bill, it's ringing in my ear and it's going out worldwide. No, that's fine. I can take a quick message. Okay, sounds good. We'll make that announcement. Thanks, Bill. I've never taken a phone call on air before. Hey, it's spontaneous. At any rate, I just heard from Dr. Bill Veith. Desi Andrews has agreed in principle, and I hope she can get Ralph Winterrode, I think I pronounced that correctly, from Alaska to do Thursday, a Thursday program. And we're going to alternate these guys in here. And you know what? What do you want to say? I don't want to say window dressing here for the Thursday program. But we've got people that are more than capable of doing a radio program, fielding their own calls, and I need the time to do network business. So this would work out perfectly for me. This will work out perfectly for the guest host. This will work out really well for the listening audience. Because, you know, folks, you know, I'm being honest here. You don't necessarily need my comment on this deal when we're bringing up the people that have the information. I don't want to say I'm an unnecessary component here, but for the sake of what we're trying to do here, it's kind of extraneous for me being hosting that Thursday show. So that's some good news. And Bill, thank you, Mr. Veith. I appreciate it very much. He was just calling to leave me a message, and I surprised him by answering the telephone. At any rate, John Ainsworth, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm on vacation right now.
You're on vacation? What does that feel like, and how does one go about getting a vacation?
Well, I work for myself, so the way I do it is I just tell people I'll be can't get to you for at least another week.
Oh, well, hey, you know, if you're the boss, you can do what you want. I like that concept.
So, yeah, I'm up in the mountains of Tennessee right now.
Well, what are you doing over there?
Vacating.
Yeah, well, I mean, but how are you vacating? I mean, what are you, fishing? What are you doing?
No. Yeah, I got a log cabin out in the woods, a little three-story log cabin with hot tubs and...
Oh, man.
Getting away from it.
I haven't had a vacation in so long. Well, I did take somewhat of a vacation, but I don't remember it. I think I was off for two and a half months, but I don't remember the time that was my motorcycle accident. Recovery period. Well, I'll tell you, I never ever want to go through anything like that again. Well, I hope you're enjoying yourself.
Well, yeah, we just got here. So,
okay, good.
Yeah.
Subject matter today, where do we want to go?
Well, you know, one of the things that we have in this wacky world we live in is we have everyone knowing something's wrong and everyone trying to find a solution. And I've come to the conclusion that what people believe is the foundational problem dictates what they believe the solution is.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, I've been in this movement long enough that, you know, everyone used to look to 1933, the Bankruptcy Act, the Federal Reserve Act. And so the solution was, you know, the creature from Jekyll Isle and all the European bankers and all this. And to me, that's, you know, that's down the road. That's not the foundational problem.
Right.
And of course, you know where I believe the foundational problem is the overthrow of state governments and the implementation of the forced implementation of the 14th Amendment. And I truly believe we've got to get people on the same foundation. I've already seen in this movement, and you have yourself, that we, through pride, through whatever we vested our interest in, we will cut off our nose to spite our face. We will burn bridges of other people in the movement.
There's a lot of bent egos out there, a lot of bad feelings going on.
Right. And so number one is we've got to get over all that. Number one is we're men here. Yeah, and there are some women involved, but we're grown up, we're adults. When you read the debates or what all happened during the signing of the Declaration, the Constitutional Conventions, and all this, these people were at each other's throats. I mean, they were wanting to jump over tables and fight each other in these conventions, but they did come together. And you know, we've got to get over this. You made me mad. I'm going to take my toys and I'm going to take my people and my seminars and I'm going to go over here and
John, simply the way they did it is they agreed that there was a lot of disagreement, but what we're going to do is we're going to stay here, and whether it leads to fistfights or brawls or whatever the case may be, we are not leaving here until we draft the proper document. That is our charge. That is what we're going to maintain our focus on, and that's exactly what they did.
Right, and they number one, came to the conclusion that the king had violated their rights and that there is a reciprocal agreement between a people and a government, and the government only had authority to operate within the law. And whenever a government fails to protect the rights of the people and operates outside of the law, the people have no obligation to it. And, you know, that's a delicate balance of how do you deal with that? What does that mean? You know, am I calling for out-and-out revolution and fighting? No. Number one is you find out what are the charges that these people did, you know, the government, what are the abuses, so that you can name them, you know, go down the line. And then people have to come to agreement that yes or no, are these actual things the government's doing it? You know, is this how they got it? Because we need a very methodical method in which we can address this situation. And, you know, we've got, it gets very, very frustrating going out and talking to people, and people are just stuck on their names in all capital letters. And that's the problem.
Right.
Well, that's a symptom. That's not the problem.
Well, I can remember, John, that you're, now that you're talking about that, I remember, well, what was the gentleman's name from Colorado that was on the subject of the bankruptcy of 1933? Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. I can't spit it out. Maybe if I was bouncing around in that hot tub up there in Tennessee, I could think about it. But yeah,
I'll call it into you tomorrow.
But I understand what you're saying. You know, and people, you're right. People said, well, here's the key. It was the bankruptcy of 1933, or it was the Federal Reserve, and you're right.
Or the Social Security Act, and all this, and all these are symptoms.
Yep.
You know, and we've got to come to the conclusion, because I really feel we're doing ourselves a disservice when we, number one is, we can't listen to someone else objectively. And number two is, we can't let other people question us objectively. You know, I think some of the best seminars I've ever done was when I remember when I did in Vermont years back, is I went up there and I said, I happened to be vacationing up in Maine for a couple of weeks. And I popped over to Vermont, did a seminar one weekend. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be back next week, because, you know, one of the problems with giving seminars is people, you know, after you leave, they say, oh, that sounded great, but I wish I could have asked this question. Oh, but I bet he doesn't have an answer for this. I said, I'm going to be back next week, and I want you to have all your questions. Because, number one is, if I can't defend myself to people who are somewhat sympathetic to what's going on,
yeah,
how in the world am I
your
going
position,
to...
Yeah, that's right, in your position, how, yes.
How am I going to defend myself in court against these people that want to hang me?
That's right.
You know, so, and we've got to, and we've got to... temper ourselves, you know, strengthen ourselves by fire. And if that fire needs to come within our own community. I really appreciate you, this venue you've got here of getting out there. But there's just a lot of people who get stuck in one little point in time or on one point of what's going on, and we're not addressing the whole issue, the big picture here. And the big picture is the federal government is totally out of control. They have no authority to conquer states. They have no authority to change our citizenship from state citizens to federal citizens at the point of a bayonet, and then call a free people living in a free country under governments of the consent of the people. It's an absurdity. And it's a very, very simple what they did. The problem is they control education, and they have controlled our minds to the point that we doubt ourselves. You know, it's like, you know, this is the greatest country. But how could they do this? You know, it's in our own mind we're battling ourselves, and we have to come to the conclusion that maybe this isn't the greatest country. I mean, I love this country. Now, don't get me wrong. I will fight for my country. I'll do everything. But when it comes to the point that I can't question my country,
yeah,
that's when it becomes not a great country.
Or we've all heard this argument, and you just want to reach out and slap the person that says this to you. Well, what's wrong with you? You a commie? You know, you got to love this country, or why don't you just leave
it? Right.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what? I think that, you know what the Nazis told the Jews? Oh, that was a great country, wasn't it? You know, it's pointing at someone else saying you're the problem. You know, and a lot of this, you know, we've got to come to the grips. You know, every one of us was brought up John Wayne, apple pie, God and country. You know, we saved the world in World War II. And then I guess after that point, we kind of went down the tubes with, you know, Korea, Vietnam. It's like, what are we doing now?
Well, I mean, take a look at that. I was talking about this yesterday, the Bretton Woods Agreement. And look what that did with us, the reconstruction and all this stuff. You know, we roll into a country, blow the thing apart like Germany. I'm not saying that it was unjustified. I don't want to take up that argument. But we were there to reconstruct the country, and we never left.
Right, and that's kind of what they did in the southern part of America, too.
That's right.
They came down to reconstruct, and they never left.
And they didn't leave to the point until any remnant of the Civil War or the War of Aggression on southern states, let's just get this right, that any symbology of that had to be put down as being racist and hate-based.
Well, a lot of that was an evolution. They didn't teach that at the very beginning.
That's right. It wasn't until the social re-engineers came in and said,
right,
well, we can pick this up and run with it.
They couldn't go with those lies while those people were still alive.
That's right. That's exactly right. I'll tell you what, folks, we'll take the break here, come back, John Ainsworth, for the remainder of today's show. And we'll take your calls also at 800-313-9443, but we'll talk a little bit more about strategy when we come back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
I think you brought up a very good point, Mr. Ainsworth, that we have to agree that there are issues, some issues we disagree on, and having said that, that is on the table, and now let's agree to get busy and get together and start doing some real work rather than, and it couldn't be any better if we had a group of federal spies or provocateurs or agent provocateurs in here mixing it up, because, well, they don't have to.
Right. We're killing ourselves. We're chewing our own legs off.
That's right.
I mean, the maxim, you know, divide and govern has been what has been the driving force behind the growth of large governments for, you know, thousands of years. If you can keep the people fighting amongst each other, then who do they have to look to solve it? Something or some entity bigger and more powerful than they are, which is going to be the government, you know, the black-white issue. You know, if we can't get along, what's got to happen? Oh, we got to have the government come in and resolve this. And so it is not to the advantage of the government for the people to actually get along, because it is there to fix problems. And there's no need for the government if there's not a lot of problems. And so we have got to quit.
Wait a minute. It was the government that caused a lot of problems in the first place.
Right, to create the need for them.
Yes. Yeah, we're here to protect you and help you.
Yeah. And then
Yeah,
and that's a fundamental violation of what government's for. Government is there to guarantee and secure the rights of the people, not to stir them up, not to, you know, to go in and try to pit one citizen against another. You know, the old the Nazi concept of, you know, turn in your neighbor. You know, start spying on all your neighbors and find out what they're doing wrong, and just let us know, and we'll come in there.
Be suspicious as ever. You know, and I've made this observation before, John. I said that, you know, we as a people here in this country have become so isolated that we just want our time. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want to be harassed or hassled. You know, our home is still our castle, and it shouldn't be violated. And, well, to illustrate the point that people just want to be left alone, and they don't want to have anything to do with neighbors or even viewing the outside world, we build homes now without front porches.
Right.
You know, I mean, you think about this. We have become so... I'm sure that a lot of motivation out of it is because we are just so worn out and threadbare that we just want to be left alone. And I think that's part of the problem in people getting together also and disseminating and understanding and then disseminating the information. You know, once again, reaching out to that neighbor across the back fence and having a serious but friendly discussion with them.
Right. I mean, but one thing, and you're right, we've gotten into this self mentality of, you know, I'm really out looking out for myself. And what we're doing by doing that is we're doing two things. We're abdicating our responsibility to our children, our posterity. You know, in other words, what are we giving them as an inheritance by us not being diligent to keep government in check? We're giving them a monster that's huge because, you know what, I just want to be left alone. I just want to enjoy my time. I just want to, and it's I. And this is a reflection of the erosion of Christian values. You know, as a Christian, we're obligated to, you know, our neighbors. We're obligated to our friends. If there's someone starving, we help them out. In this American humanistic society, the self-society we live in today, well, I don't have to help out my neighbor. Let them go on welfare. Let the government take care of them.
Right.
And so we...
Well, that's okay. The neighbor already thinks the government should take care of them.
Right. And so we have this change in our mindset of how we view things and how we look at things. And you know, we need a return. We need to understand how we got away from those things. And that's another thing. I know I've brought it up before. I don't know if people remember it. But one of the things that Reconstruction did in this country, you know, we originally had Christian states, and, you know, you hear the arguments all the time that, you know, we were originally a Christian nation, and then people argue that based on the Constitution of the United States.
Well, and the reason why they're arguing it, John, is because they want to dump anything that has to do with Christian principle. They want to throw that in the trash heap, so that argument must be made on their behalf.
Right, but the fact is that we were a Christian nation.
That's right.
And that was changed, oh gosh, by our federal government. And look at that. Again, let's look a little deeper of why is that important. If the people say, you know what, I don't need big government, my reliance is upon God. I put my faith in God. How much government do you need? Not a whole lot. So what does the government want to do? It wants to become your God. You know, it wants you to worship it. It wants you that whenever there's a problem in your life, you don't have a job, come to the government. The government is your source. The government will provide you. And we've bought all this stuff hook, line, and sinker. And it's not healthy. And we've got to get away from this concept that the government is there to take the place of our provider. Number one is, if we are truly a free people, I am the provider of my family. And I look to God to be the provider of what he brings to me. And, you know, you and I were brought up at a time when there were people who wouldn't take a handout from the government. I mean, I can remember grandfathers and uncles and even my parents. It was shameful to get a check from the government.
Sure.
And all that has changed now to where we're obligated. I mean, it's like, hey, it's due us. We've got to get it.
Well, and just take a look at any presidential cycle, elections, running up to elections. What do? They go out there and scare the crap out of the old folks by threatening Social Security or whatever else.
These buying votes.
These people are desperate and they're trying to cling on what they have left, but they don't understand that the government shouldn't have been involved in it to screw it up in the first place. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is Christine with another Brigham Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The
rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
John, I'm sitting here. we were talking about, well, people getting together and working out their differences.
Right.
Well, how's this one? Congressman, and this is written by Al Gore, Albert Gore Jr., that's right, our own Al Gore that invented the Internet. And they had, I guess, a meeting here on Martin Luther King Day, just glancing at the article here, in Constitution Hall. And he says, so many of us have come here to the Constitution Hall to sound an alarm and call upon our fellow citizens to put aside partisan differences and join with us in demanding that our Constitution be defended and preserved. This is Al Gore saying this, but who joined up with him was Bob Barr. And he goes on to say that, well, we've had our differences in the past, and I'm sure you've had your differences, Al, because you were trying to violate that very same Constitution that you're now saying is in danger. I think something is going on in this country. I think they're feeling and they're hearing the voices, even in the well-insulated beltway in Washington, D.C. For Al Gore to come out and start decrying the fact that the government is violating our Constitution, what does that tell you? How's that for a campaign platform for 2008, huh?
Right, the people already know it, so now he's saying something that,
we already know.
That's ringing true, and oh man, this guy's on our side now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get a grip.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess there'd be one way that this would be a great ticket for 2008, because, you know, we cycle these people in, we had what? We had only 4 years of Daddy Bush, and then we had 8 years of Bill Clinton. Well, everybody got sick of that and his shenanigans, so we bring in another conservative Republican. Oh, it just happens to be the son of the old man. And then we have 8 years of him, and then, but here's the deal. I mean, I'm looking at this. And
now, does it actually say that he's recognizing the government violates the Constitution?
It says, let me read it exactly. He talks about the FBI privately called King the most dangerous and effective Negro leader in the country. These talks about the FBI investigated Dr. Martin Luther King, and then he goes on to talk about the FISA court, of which he voted when he was in Congress for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and he says, oh, well, this is workable. But then he goes on to say that, yet just 1 month ago, Americans awoke to the shocking news that in spite of this long-settled law, the executive branch has been secretly spying on large numbers of Americans for the last 4 years and eavesdropping on large volumes of telephone calls, emails, and Internet traffic inside the United States. And, you know, this is amazing because the FBI has been doing this ever since J. Edgar Hoover started the FBI.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is what's been happening. And the problem is, and they're doing damage control because now everybody is discovering that, well, the government proclaimed that it had the authority to do that for our protection, but they've been doing this for years anyhow. So a lot of what the FBI had already been doing was just legitimized through FISA, but then through Patriot Act and Homeland Security and all the other falderall that these clowns in Washington think that they need to do to protect us by throwing the Constitution with the baby and the bathwater out the window. Now comes Al Gore to come around and say that our Constitution is in danger. Yes, he says this.
Well, if it's in danger, what does that tell us? That means that someone wants to take it away. It means someone has taken parts of it away, and if the Constitution is the fundamental law of the land and someone's not obeying it, what do we call those people? I call them criminals.
And Al is, I got to tell you, Al's been involved in some criminality against the Constitution. He says, a president who breaks the law is a threat to the very structure of our government. He says, our founding fathers were adamant that they had established a government of laws and not men. Indeed, they recognized that the structure of government that they had enshrined in our Constitution, our system of checks and balances, was designed with the central purpose of ensuring that it would govern through the rule of law. As John Adams said, the executive shall never exercise the legislative and judicial powers of or either of them to that end that it may be a government of laws and not men.
Right.
So we got Al Gore coming out and trying to wrap himself now in the Founding Fathers. I mean, how bizarre is this getting?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was watching, I was watching a documentary on the History Channel about Abraham Lincoln. I do like to see what they say about him, see how they justify these actions.
The History Rewritten Channel, yes.
Well, no, actually, you know, there's some pretty good stuff if you know what really happened. What I like to do is how do they... How do they couch what he did and make it come out to where he's great?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they did. They had one guy came in, and he started admitting all the things. He said, you know, a lot of people said Abraham Lincoln is a dictator and that he did all this stuff, but he was merely trying to preserve the Union. I mean, and they went through the list of what he did, you know, that he suspended the writ of habeas corpus, that he threw, I think they admitted on the History Channel, between 13,000 and 15,000 Americans in prison. These are Yankees. Northern Americans in prison without charges and without a trial date, how he crushed the presses. Anybody that was said anything slightly against it or printed anything against the policies of Washington, their presses were destroyed and they were shut down. And the way this guy, and again, you got to remember who the History Channel interviews. They interviewed, I think, about five people that wrote favorable books on Abraham Lincoln. And it's not like they got a real objective crowd here. And the guy goes, you know, a lot of people say that all this was dictatorial, but you have to look at it the people loved him. You know, and so how could you have a dictator with this kind of popularity?
Well, there were people that loved Hitler. There were people
exactly
that loved Caesar.
That's where I was going.
Yep. There were people that liked Uncle Joe Stalin and Mao and all the likes of the tyrants.
Right. I saw a documentary on Stalin on the History Channel, and they were talking about when he was doing his purges. How, you know, here he was, you know, murdering and throwing into prison and up in the gulags all of his own people. And on the History Channel, they said there's this guy, he wrote a letter to Stalin saying, you know, if Stalin only knew what was going on out here, he put a stop to it. You know, and he was the cause of it. But it shows this blindness people have towards these dictators.
Well, and there's a lot of it that they don't want to believe, that a man in power of a country would do such atrocities to its own people for political gains, or, you know, a purge, as you're discussing. Uncle Joe had to get rid of these people because it was threatening the new communist regime that they set up.
Right, but again, we see that it happened here, you know, and we loved our tyrant also, and we still hold him up to this banner. And it's, you know, when are we going to get objective? You know, what you just read was that, you know, Al Gore's admitting that we formed this government to where the government was bound by the laws. We're not a government of men, we're a government of laws, that presidents cannot violate the Constitution. But who is one of our, you know, not mine, but who is one of the nation's most revered presidents? The guy who destroyed the Constitution.
Well, I can remember Al Gore under the Clinton administration. I can remember Secretary of State Benson, Lloyd Benson. Not the Secretary of State. It was Madeleine Albright. She was not there. Janet Reno was there at this meeting. And it was actually a press conference. There was Lloyd Benson. He was Secretary of Treasury, I believe, at the time. There was Al Gore. He was there. Janet Reno. Let's not ever forget Butch. There were several people there, and this was the announcement that they were making about government properties and talking openly about cordoning off blocks of neighborhoods surrounding federal properties to do house-to-house searches and seizures, because they admitted that, the drugs aren't necessarily emanating from these public housing projects. Yes, we know they're infested, but we know that these drugs and this crime is coming from the surrounding communities. So here's our proposal. We're going to do cordon off blocks and do house-to-house searches and seizures. And they're all doing this with a straight face. This happened, I can still remember, 12 noon, boom, on C-SPAN, there it is. And I'm watching this, and my jaw is hitting the floor. Now, Al Gore was a very strong part of that, and I don't see where cordoning off blocks of neighborhoods and doing house-to-house searches and seizures for what the government thinks is illegal or contraband or somehow dangerous to their little federal paid enclaves, such as housing projects. I mean, even Lloyd Benson comes out and says, well, we're going to have the Secret Service checking lighting and stairwells to make sure the stairwells are safe. And I'm listening to this, and I'm going, my God. So here we are in 2006. And that had to have been almost 11 years ago that was done. And I'm reading what Al Gore is saying. Let me just read another part of this. He says an executive who arrogates, and I don't know if that's a word, but he uses it to himself, the power to ignore the legitimate legislative directives of the Congress to act free of the check of the judiciary becomes a central threat to the founders that sought to nullify in the Constitution. An all-powerful executive too reminiscent of the king for whom they had broken free, in other words, of James Madison. Here he goes again, quoting a founder here, the accumulation of all powers, talking about Madison, accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. He goes on to quote Thomas Paine. This is bizarre. This is what I call damage control, because people are once again, John, reacquainting themselves with what our government is supposed to be. They're using this as a map. They're looking at it and go, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. They're doing their comparison and saying, this is where we are now.
Well, they're hedging their bets. I mean, they're playing both sides. So whichever side wins, if there's ever a controversy in the street, you know, oh, man, yeah, we were on your side, you know. And these guys speak out of both sides of their mouth.
Well, I mean, but it's, John, you got to admit, Al Gore to be talking about the Constitution and quoting founders, how desperate is this?
It is desperate. That is a desperate measure.
I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones. They're starting to stack up on us here. Keith in Rhode Island, you're up first. Hello, Keith.
Hello there. I'm not sure who your guest is. You haven't
John
identified.
Ainsworth.
All right, thank you. Hello, gentlemen. I agree basically with everything you're saying, but I have to take issue with your position that America was a Christian nation at the time of its the Declaration of Independence. I don't believe that's true. You mentioned Thomas Paine a moment ago. He was stridently anti-Christian.
I can cut to the chase on this one. We were. You have to go to the Constitution. You can't go to the individuals. Thomas Paine was not the law of the land. If you go to the state of North Carolina, you're required to be a Christian in order to hold office. If you go to the state of South Carolina, in their Constitution, it said that the Christian Protestant religion is hereby deemed and shall be declared to be the official religion of the state. You go to New Jersey, and in their 1776 Constitution, you had to swear an oath to Jesus Christ in order to hold office. And I can go through, I think, 12 of the original 13 colonies, and they say like things in their original constitutions.
The original state constitution.
The original state constitution.
Which were changed, caller.
Yes, but the name Jesus Christ and the word Christianity appears nowhere in the Federalist Papers, the Declaration of Independence, or the Constitution. That's for a reason.
Okay, I can address that, too. We had one of the problems we had is we had Protestants and we had Catholics in this nation. And when you are sending Christian representatives to the federal government, because you have to remember, out of the state, only Christians can be representatives, can be in government. The body politic was not required to be Christian, but this was just to hold office because we swore an oath on the Bible. Remember these remnants of Christian governments we used to have? We swear an oath on the Bible. Why would we have that if no one believed it? And so the issue was the federal government could not have a religious test. But if you'll read the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, it says that, you know, they cannot have pass any law respecting a religion. So you're right that they don't mention it for the most part. But the fact is that all the representatives that went into that body were Christian.
But isn't Christian, well, at least in those days, wasn't Christian more really a euphemism for a white person as opposed to a Mohammedan or a Jew? As they were, a Mohammedan is like an older word for Islam or Muslim. It wasn't just really a euphemism for a white person.
No.
Keith, it sounds to me like that you're not really familiar with the writings
I've read Thomas Paine. And
yeah.
Thomas Paine was not a Christian.
Yeah, Thomas Paine.
Neither was Thomas Jefferson, nor probably George Washington, for that matter.
Have you read, excuse me, have you read George Washington's farewell address?
I have, yes.
And you did not see any Christianity or God in that at all, huh?
I don't have the text in front of me. I really focused on his enjoining us not to get involved with overseas entanglement.
Right. Well, you're absolutely correct by saying that, but you're ignoring and by the tone and the questions you're asking here that you have sought to eliminate that from your thinking, and you're not seeing that for what it is.
Well, he was a politician, so he, you know, even though he was maybe a Freemason or a cosmotheist or whatever they were called. He was a politician, and he did have to address the Christians in his audience. I mean, you know, he was a politician.
Let me tell you something. George Washington was well known. He was renowned for this. George Washington used to spend twice a day, 30 minutes each session, in prayer on bended knee with the Bible open.
The God of the Freemasons, perhaps. Or the theist. He was a what?
Keith, is there anything on God's green earth that you believe in other than yourself? Let me ask you that. Is there anything that in your life that you regard as being what's the term I'm looking for here, John?
Sacred and holy? I mean, I don't know.
Sacred, holy, something that can't be put asunder or whatever else. Do you have any God in your life at all, Keith?
I think what Keith is doing is just espousing what we've been taught. I mean, he's not putting out anything more than what, you know, Peter Jennings and all these people have been trying to teach us. The issue is are we sheep to where we're going to listen to people without checking the facts? And that's the issue, and that's one of the problems we have in this country is people just regurgitate these one-liners and these belief systems that they've never looked into themselves.
Keith, do you believe in the ACLU's determination of separation of church and state?
I do, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah, well, that's you can thank your card-carrying ACLU communist lawyers for that.
I got a question for Keith.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where's the origin of law?
I guess it comes from our tribal ancestors. I don't know.
No. Who's our tribe? What tribe did you come from?
I came from a Slavic tribe. Well, my ancestors came from a Slavic tribe in the forests of, Russia 1,000 years ago. I don't know.
Okay, so our laws come from the forests of Russia? I mean, I'm trying to get a concrete answer.
They come from
here.
Our tribal ancestors so they can survive as a tribe. Yeah.
Okay,
the laws come from man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I say our laws come from God.
Hold on, Keith. I'm glad that you called. I'm not trying to be mean or beat up on you here, but we're going to pick this thing apart for a few more minutes because we want to make a clear understanding as to where this reprogramming came in. And suffice it to say, not everybody in this nation is Christian, or was it at the beginning? That wasn't the point. The point was that we had law that was based on biblical principle, and we went forth from there. That's why we built such a great country with great people. We'll be right back.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Republic Broadcasting Network toll-free at 1-800-724-2719.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. All right, programming note. That's right, we had Webster yesterday, John Ainsworth. I think Greg will be, Szymanski will be with me for a little bit on Friday. Next Tuesday, Bill Sardi is coming back, Thomas Smith. And coming up February 1st, thank you, Danny, for this. He just nailed this down, the Coral Ridge Ministries guy. Oh, that's right, James Kennedy with... And if anybody watches him on satellite or cable and what he has been talking about lately, you'd almost swear that he was one of these black-robed ministers from our founding days. Now, back to the subject at hand here, and by the way, that's in case you didn't hear, that was February 1st, that's going to be Wednesday. We'll have D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridge Ministries, and I'm going to ask him specifically, because I'd heard a lot of his sermons on Christianity, the founders, and he straightened a lot of people out, and there was a lot of stuff that I learned, and I went back and I verified and researched what he was talking about, and he was absolutely correct.
He used to be a big Lincoln fan, though.
Yeah, he used to be.
Is he now?
I don't think so anymore. The clouds parted, the shaft of sunlight came down, and he's back on track, it seems like. So we'll have him on the air. But getting back, Keith, to what you're describing here, you know, the ACLU came out with the separation of church and state. What if you read that First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, it talks more about the government not sanctioning any one religion per se, or the government themselves sanctioning or starting a religion. And to know our real history, if you've been a victim here of the reprogramming, as many people have had, you know, this was the issue here about the Ten Commandments, and look who the good friends were behind that one, the ADL. Supposedly a Jewish organization. Well, they don't like Christianity. Them and Southern Poverty Law, Morris Dees, the unsavory individual. I read his divorce proceedings. I read his court cases, and I'll tell you, this is one unsavory individual that I would not let him next to a full-grown child, let alone a small one. But suffice it to say that these were the kind of people that were in there trying to rip Christianity, but more importantly, the morals and the ethics that it reflects out of society. We've got to get rid of this. We've got to be a secular nation. We can't favor one godhead over another, because that's just not fair and tolerant. You're buying
for government.
Yeah, Keith, you're buying into all of this crap, man.
Well, I'm trying to look at this from an overall historical perspective. When the nation was founded in the 1770s, they still had vivid memories of all the religious wars in Europe that tore Europe apart the previous century, the 30 Years' War, the Huguenots and all. And they didn't want that sort of religious violence spilling over into our country. They didn't want America ruled by the Archbishop of Canterbury or the Pope in Rome.
Right. You're right about that. I don't understand your correlation. The correlation is that people should be able to be free.
The 30 Years' War in Germany that killed hundreds of thousands of people in the 1630s, the 1640s, they didn't want that violence over here between Protestants and Catholics.
Oh, so the idea is to take God and all reference it out of public office, out of the public period, so therefore we'll have peace if we have no God or principle or ethic, right?
Well, the abstract concept of God is fine, but when you start naming a specific religious deity, that's dangerous.
I think you're absolutely wrong, and I think you cause confusion, because then you have a divided people. You do not have a people that are on one, going in one direction. Are we going for break again?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, man.
That was a short... I know. It's commercially formatted radio. What can I tell you? Well, Keith, I'll tell you what. Obviously, you listen to the program. I would suggest you just keep listening and keep an open mind, if you would, sir.
All right, fair enough. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Keith. I appreciate your call. See, we can agree to disagree. And Keith, I promise, I'm not going to show up at your front door with a Bible and beat you to death with it. I swear I won't do that. All right, hang on. 800-313-9443. We'll get to all of your calls after this break. For you international shortwave listeners, you can tune in to 5.050 on your shortwave dial. And we'll get into more of this right after a little bit of that. We'll be right back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.